Kierkegaardian postmodernism. In chapter 4, I sketched one postmodern response to the problems of theory and evidence for socialism. For an intelligent, informed socialist confronted with the data of history, a crisis of belief has to occur. Socialism is to many a powerful vision of the beautiful society, one that envisages an ideal social world that will transcend all the ills of our current one. Any such deeply held vision comes to form part of the very identity of the believer, and any threat to the vision has to be experienced as a threat to the believer. From the historical experience of other visions that have run into crises of theory and evidence, we know that there can be a powerful temptation to block out theoretical and evidentiary problems and simply to will oneself into continuing to believe. Religion, for example, has provided many such instances. Quote, 10,000 difficulties, wrote Cardinal Newman, do not make one doubt, unquote. Fyodor Dostoevsky made the point more starkly in a letter to a woman benefactor. Quote, if anyone had written to me that the truth was outside of Christ, I would rather remain with Christ than with the truth, unquote. We also know from historical experience that sophisticated epistemological strategies can be developed precisely for the purpose of attacking the reason and logic that have caused problems for the vision. Such were part of the explicit motivation of Kant's first critique, Schleiermacher's On Religion, and Kierkegaard's Fear and Trembling. Why not for the far left? The modern histories of religion and socialism exhibit striking parallels in development. Both religion and socialism started with a comprehensive vision that they believed to be true but not based on reason. Various prophets, Rousseau. Both visions were then challenged by visions based on rational epistemologies. Early naturalist critics of religion. Early liberal critics of socialism. Both religion and socialism responded by saying that they could satisfy the criteria of reason, natural theology, scientific socialism. Both religion and socialism then ran into serious problems of logic and evidence. Hume's attack on natural theology, Mises and Hayek's attacks on socialist calculation. Both then responded in turn by attacking reality and reason, Kant and Kierkegaard. The postmodernists. By the end of the 18th century, religious thinkers had available to them Kant's sophisticated epistemology. Kant told them that reason was cut off from reality, and so many abandoned natural theology and gratefully used his epistemology to defend religion. By the middle of the 20th century, left thinkers had available to them sophisticated theories of epistemology and language that told them that truth is impossible, that evidence is theory-laden, that empirical evidence never adds up to proof, that logical proof is merely theoretical, that reason is artificial and dehumanizing, and that one's feelings and passions are better guides than reason. The prevailing skeptical and irrationalist epistemologies in academic philosophy thus provided the left with a new strategy for responding to its crisis. Any attack on socialism in any form could be brushed aside, and the desire to believe in it reaffirmed. Those who adopted this strategy could always tell themselves that they were simply functioning as Kuhn said the scientists themselves function, by bracketing the anomalies, setting them aside, and then going with their feelings. On this hypothesis, then, postmodernism is a symptom of the far left's crisis of faith. Postmodernism is a result of using skeptical epistemology to justify the personal leap of faith necessary to continue believing in socialism. On this hypothesis, the prevalence of skeptical and irrationalist epistemologies in the middle of the 20th century alone is not a sufficient explanation of postmodernism. A dead end of skepticism and irrationalism does not predict to what uses skepticism and irrationalism will be put. A desperate person or movement can appeal to those epistemologies as a defense mechanism, but who or what movement is desperate depends on other factors. In this case, socialism is the movement in trouble. But socialism's troubles alone are not a sufficient explanation either. Unless the epistemological groundwork is laid, any movement that appeals to skeptical and irrationalist arguments will simply be laughed out of court. Therefore, it is a combination of the two factors: widespread skepticism about reason and socialism's being in crisis that is necessary to give rise to postmodernism. Yet this Kierkegaardian explanation of postmodernism is incomplete as an account of postmodern strategy. For left thinkers who are crushed by the failings of socialism, the Kierkegaardian option provides the justification needed for continuing to believe in socialism as a matter of personal faith. But for those who still want to carry on the battle against capitalism, the new epistemologies make other strategies possible.